Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. At least that was what I used to do before COVID. Then we started teaching from home and did the flexible hybrid thing. So some days I record in my car, some days it's here in my living room or in my neighborhood. Actually, my school is currently in a position where we teach Mondays from home, and on-demand students come in and then everybody dials in, okay, fine, on Zoom calls. Then we're in the building Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, where different cohorts of students, which up until like 2 weeks ago, the world didn't use the word cohorts, we just used the word group, but whatever. Different cohorts or groups of students come in Tuesday, Thursday, or Wednesday, Friday. So by the end of the week, we'll see every student once virtually on Mondays and then once in person, either Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. Now, all that said, the purpose of today's podcast is to talk about virtual teaching, hybrid teaching, and getting back in the game, even if you're doing the virtual thing. And I have a new thing that I'm playing with that I'm kind of falling in love with. I want to talk about that today in the podcast. But first things first, if you like what you're hearing and you want to subscribe or hear other episodes, new episodes drop every Monday. So feel free to hit that subscribe button or to like or leave a comment on your favorite podcasting app. Awesome. You want to talk further? I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. I don't pretend to be an expert about any of this stuff. I'm just a guy who works really hard and loves the work that he does. So please feel free to hit me up on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. And I have a website where I share templates and resources and all sorts of stuff. It's adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational ed, adrenaline. I also wrote a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. So if any of this stuff sounds interesting to you, head to the website. You can check out the first couple chapters for free. And we talk about how to change the game, because I think inspiration is everywhere. And today I want to talk about something that has inspired me quite a bit. It's part apology. It's part justification. Maybe it's a part tax write-off. Let's find out. But I'm talking today about my workout routine and how it has had to change since the pandemic. As I wrote about in Adrenaline Rush, I do obstacle course racing. I do Tough Mudders and Spartan races and marathons. And I love that stuff. I love the idea of being accountable to other people, to get out there and that social element, to push myself over those extreme challenges, to get those pictures of me taken that I look crazy or stupid, doing all sorts of, you know, insane obstacles, share those with people, tell those fun stories of, oh my gosh, there was barbed wire in this one, or oh, we were climbing up this hill. And I mean, you're doing really hard yard work for somebody else, right? You're doing a whole bunch of like military style obstacles, jumping through fire, hanging over, you know, cliffs, and you're trying to do all this adrenaline pumping stuff, but you start to feel really good. Like, hey, you know, I kind of feel like a hero. I couldn't do that one last time. I did a little better this time. They say at the start of that race, you know, when is the last time that you did something for the first time? And I really love that as a life mantra. Like, when was the last time you tried something that you never tried before? A lot of times in school, maybe even far too often, both teacher and student, we know what the game of school will have for us. It's the same book every year when I get to the 1st of November, because that's the next class who's getting to the same part in the curriculum. And it's the same test, or it's the same project, or it's the same class trip. And while all those things for that student group may be awesome and fun, for me as an educator, my own hyperactivity, my own ADD, I'm kind of done. Like, I want to do something new. That's maybe one of the reasons why I wrote the book. It's one of the reasons why I like speaking and presenting and instructional coaching, is I'm constantly keeping my finger on the pulse of new ways to engage, new ways to like innovate, new ways to get stronger, to get smarter, and really to help our students not just be new players in the game, but to change the game for generations to come. So all those things said, my own workout regimen is typically during the fall into the winter, I am running a lot. In January, I do the Disney Marathon every year for the past like 10 or so I've been down in Orlando, and I love it. I've done the half marathon down there, the 5K, the 10K, the half marathon, the full marathon. They have what they call the goofy challenge, where you do the half marathon and the full marathon back to back. And then they have the dopey challenge, where you run the 5K, the 10K, the half marathon, and the full marathon on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that's a total of, I think, like 48.6 miles over the course of 4 days. There's a great Disney quote that says, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. And I love that. I love, love, love setting these challenges for myself. But it's different with COVID, because airline travel has not been happening. Large races have not been happening. All of my Spartan races, all of my Tough Mudders have been canceled. I was supposed to run the New Jersey Marathon back in the spring. That was pushed to the fall. And then like 3 weeks ago, we got news that they had to cancel that one too. And they didn't just cancel it for this year. They said it's canceled indefinitely because we don't know when we'll be able to do it again, whether that's in the spring of 2021 or whether it's in the fall of 2021 or maybe it's 2022. Like, we're all up in the air. So as a guy who like uses these things on the calendar as fuel for these impossible challenges, it's hard to find motivation when you don't have other people there cheering for you. I think that's a problem with our classrooms too. So many of our students have said how isolated and how like forgotten they felt, sort of abandoned, because they don't feel like anybody's checking in with them. They don't feel like they're checking in with anybody else. They have no sense of community in the work that they're doing. And so they're kind of doing the work, but it's only for the teacher. Rushton Hurley, the educator, the author, presenter, he says, you know, if students are going to write for an authentic audience or make something for an authentic audience, they will work until it's good. But if they're working until it's for a teacher, well, it's only going to be good enough. And I really like that sentiment because I believe in it. As much as possible in a gamified classroom or a highly engaged classroom, I try to create opportunities where students are bumping into each other, crashing into each other, connecting with one another, trading ideas with each other, collaborating with one another, and seeing one another's high-quality work products again and again and again and again. Without it, what winds up happening is school can feel like solitary confinement. You come in, you sit in desks and rows, it's very tombstone-style teaching, right? Like a cemetery. And it feels that same sort of emotional vibe when you walk in the room. It's like, be silent, sit down, die here, right? I hate that. So I love the idea of my classroom feeling more like an athletic event. And so I was bummed when one by one by one, everything kind of went down over the COVID. I was part of a gym membership before I went in. And even though my gym has reopened, there is no chance in the world I'm going back to any gym where any other people will be for at least the next 18 months, at least. Just being around other people is scary enough. And then to be around people who are actively sweating is like, I don't know. Especially indoors, I don't know. And then touching the same equipment that they were touching, I don't know. Now, I could, of course, run outdoors, but as a classroom teacher, and I'm sure most of us who are high school teachers particularly can empathize with this, you're up once the clocks change before sun rise, and you're in your car. If you have like a 45-minute commute to an hour commute like I do, you are in the car as the sun's coming up. You then work until 3 o'clock, 3:30, and you drive home in rush hour traffic. 3:30 means 4:30, sometimes 5:30. So by the time you get home, you're losing daylight. And if you were to get changed, you got about 15 to 20 minutes of solid daylight to run in before everything is over. Now, 15 minutes of daylight is not bad if you have 15 minutes of daylight. But if you live in a city like I live, it's not safe to go running at night in unmarked roads or unmarked trails. And it's certainly not safe to be going running. You can hear the trucks outside on the actual roads themselves, no matter how much like day glow gear you have. Having done overnight runs before with like a headlamp, I can tell you it is one of the least enjoyable experiences of your life because you're constantly like looking around like, who can see me? What can I see? What's that in the woods? What's that in the bushes? Is that a car? Is that a deer? Oh my God, am I going to break an ankle on this road? So not ideal. And for me, the absence of having things on the calendar, like these big run weekends, makes it now less inclined that I would do any working out. Unfortunately, your health is not just physical, it's mental and it's emotional, right? If you're not doing your working out, you start to feel sluggish and lethargic. You start to feel like forgotten and abandoned, isolated, like our students. And so for that reason, for all of those reasons, hey, I'm not paying for a yoga studio because I don't want to be around other people. I'm not paying for a gym because I don't want to touch other devices that other people have touched. I can't do my afternoon or my night weekend runs because of all of the COVID stuff and these cancellations. I'm just like sitting around getting a little stir crazy. So I went ahead and I bought a Peloton. And today I'm going to talk about just a few of the things about the Peloton that I really, really love. Yes, I know it costs a lot of money. And I think that that's important to sort of own as a disclaimer here is I am not flush with cash. I'm a classroom teacher. Everyone's like, oh, but you wrote books too. I assure you, the one job that makes a little bit less money than teaching is being an author. And I think that that's worth pointing out here. But for me, the Peloton was an investment in mental health. I do see a counselor. I talk about my counselor. I'm very open about my mental health struggles. And there's a price point attached to that, of course. But a big thing that comes up in my counseling is like, hey, everything is kind of related. And if my head isn't right, and my body isn't right, and if my body isn't right, then my mood isn't right. And then I'm not any good for anybody, right? You got to put that oxygen mask on yourself first. So I'm going to own it. The bike cost a few bucks. But I was paying $99 a month for yoga membership, and then $10 a month plus a $15 annual fee for gym membership, which meant somewhere between those two things, I was paying like $1,500, maybe $1,600 a year before COVID. And that's just a start. Then all those races, every weekend you would do like a marathon race or a Tough Mudder race, they have a registration price attached to them. So they would be like $100, $150 to run a race. And if I would do like three or five races in a year, somewhere between like $500 and $800 of monies was being spent to that. So when I kind of put that kit and caboodle together, in a year, for fitness purposes, at the pre-COVID pace, it's like the one thing I spend any money on, I was spending like $2,000 a year. So when the price point of the bike was like a little more than $2,000, it's like, well, hang on a second. If I have this that I can get in my house and I can ride it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it'll keep me sane, it'll keep me fit, and it'll keep me accountable, suddenly, that's a very inexpensive investment in self. And I've come to really love it. I had it delivered last week. I love the interface of it. I love how easy it is to use. And I love the fact that it gives instant feedback that you're not just working out by yourself. I'm using a lot of this stuff as like a metaphor for my own classroom because they're virtual teaching me how to ride a bike. They're virtual teaching me how to do a spin class. They're virtual teaching me how to do yoga, how to do stretching, how to do exercise, how to do meditation, how to do mindfulness. And the app is doing all the heavy lifting, like the mathematics, the analytics, where it gives like your scores or your trends or your bests and like your feedbacks. And I'm like, well, isn't that what a good classroom teacher can do, right? We focus on being that person's instructional coach or that person's spin cycle instructor, right? That high energy, vibrant, full of life personality that even though you're teaching behind a one-dimensional screen, is still coming with three-dimensional life and energy. And when students show up, you affirm them. Like that's one of the things that Peloton does so well. SoulCycle does it also as well. It's like you pay for this streaming app and then it's not just watching somebody on YouTube on demand doing their workout. They're like doing that magic mirror thing from Romper Room where they're looking at people who've logged into that session and say, oh, Bobby, I see you today. Janie, it's your 100th ride. Nice work. Push it here. Tommy, take us through this next turn. Like cheering for you by name, validating you by name helps you feel like you're seen. I love that. You talk about the Bartle test, right? There's the achiever type, the socializer, the griefer, and the explorer. And for the socializer type, to be seen and elevated by your peers is really awesome. You have a button that you can push as you're riding to give a high five to somebody else as they're riding too. With a tap of your screen, it says you gave a high five to somebody and they can like high five you back. It's like poking people on Facebook. It doesn't really do much, but it does. It lets people know, hey, you're here. I see you. There's also a leaderboard feature on the right-hand side that you can slide up and slide down, and if you don't want to watch it, you can just slide off to the side altogether. But you can race against other people who are in the room right now. You can filter it by other people who are your age who are right there right now, your gender right there right now, or you can race against the all-time records for that particular class or that particular course, like Mario Kart in the Ghost Race mode. So you can race against the best of the best. So there's always a new challenge out there. Again, to that Bartle test, for the achiever type, really affirming to know that you can push it and go harder. You can also link it to your Facebook and post real-time results to say, hey, I just did this workout, and now it shares it with your real friends outside of the Peloton world. Ain't that cool? So I love, love, love so much of that feedback, that interactivity, that celebration, the idea of micro-credentialing, micro-goal-setting, seeing yourself on a leaderboard, tick, tick, ticking up, socializing so other people can see the work that you're doing, and those extreme challenges they used to do in real-life Tough Mudders or real-life marathons are now being shared in that virtual world of Facebook. So even though it's not quite the same, it has a lot of the same elements too. There's fun ways in the end of each ride where you can rate how good the session was, how good the instructor was, how good the course was on a scale of 1 to 4, 1 to 5. I love that in my own classroom, like at the end of every couple of weeks, giving surveys to your students. Hey, not for a grade, but just how are we doing? How's this class vibing? Are we doing okay? Is there more that I can do? Was the class too hard, too easy, too fast, too slow? I love that interactivity. It's really, really helpful. It also has a playlist on the left-hand side where new music is popping on as you're riding. If you like it, you can thumbs up it and add it to your Spotify and add it to your iTunes, Apple library. I was like, well, that's cool, right? Helping people discover new music. For the explorer types in that Bartle test that they can explore all different tracks or courses, they can go back on demand and see old courses, or they can see just like move at your own pace, whether they're racing across, you know, like glaciers or mountains or, you know, woods. Things like this are really cool for people who are saying, hey, if I have to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning or when it's dark outside or when it's raining outside, it does have a sense of, I get to feel like I'm still traveling someplace. And I think our classrooms can do more of that. helping our students feel like they're being immersed in an environment that, yeah, we know it's a video game. We know it's a screen. We know it's a one-dimensional class. But it feels three-dimensional. It feels larger than life. It feels exploratory. So I'm constantly leaning in on ways to do that for my classes when I create those magic circles of the game world. And the Peloton has, for me, again, it's only been less than a week, but I've seen a lot of those same motivational tools. I'm like, oh, this is going to work. And it's going to make me want to show up every single day and have somebody there cheering for you who's saying, hey, you showed up today. You're better than your worst day already. And like that is enough for many of our kids, talking about their own mental health, right? To make them feel safer and more supported and to say, hey, you're not racing against anybody else if you don't want to. You're racing against your best today. Not even your best yesterday. Like you're being your best self today. It's very life-giving. It's very affirming. It's very positive. And for our kids, they need that, especially in the time of pandemic when they're freaking out. So anyways, I have a whole bunch of templates that I always have on my website. I made a Peloton template. You can check it out under the distance learning. Feel free to give that a look. In the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, stay home. And if you're on the Peloton, I'll see you on the leaderboard. And I'll talk to you next time. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU. And on Peloton, I'm also MeehanEDU. Bye for now. Thanks again.